I'm Amanda Sewell, and with me in the studio today is composer Tony Manfredonia, who composes for just about every kind of ensemble and setting you can imagine. We're going to listen to several of his pieces this hour. And this week, the Northern Symphonic Winds will be giving the world premiere performance of Tony's On the Threshold of Spring, which we'll talk about as well. Tony Manfredonia, welcome to Classical IPR.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. It's an honor.
Welcome back, actually. We've been here before. So tell us a little bit about your compositions.
Sure.
Can you sum them up in a sentence or two?
Oh, boy. Yeah. You know, I write for all sorts of, you know, big orchestral events, as well as just, you know, real low-key chamber pieces or solo pieces. I always try, in a sense, to tell a story or to convey some type of environment or... I like to keep it atmospheric and storytelling, stories being told instrumentally or vocally, depending on if there's words. From video games to concerts and everything in between.
Well, we're going to start this hour with music that was performed right here in our Studio A last summer. I believe the official world premiere of this piece happened at the Bayview Music Festival.
That's correct.
Last summer.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking that Tony's name sounds familiar, well, he was here with the Bayview Wind Quintet last summer to perform a piece called Whoa, which I believe is all capitals and an exclamation point.
Yes.
Is that how it's in your catalog?
Yes, with an exclamation point.
That's the most important part. So you were saying you like music that tells a story, and this one definitely does. So tell us about Whoa.
Sure, yeah. So they commissioned me to write this last year, and it kind of was a serendipitous event in the sense that it was right about the same time as I was looking at poetry with my wife. She's a hobbyist poet, you know, nothing necessarily published, but she just does it almost in like a therapeutic sense. We were looking over one of her poems from a long time ago about her horse who passed away a few years ago, but it was like her favorite horse of all time. And she wrote this poem about how he just, you know, taking a walk in the woods, just like took off out of nowhere. And you know, all she could do was just hold on. You know, she was like, it'd be more dangerous for me to jump off, so I'm just gonna hold on and, you know, pray for my dear life. And the piece is basically kind of off of that poem. And I know on May 11th in Traverse City, Manitou Winds are going to perform it, so just a few weeks from now, and a couple weeks actually, and they're going to read the poem there and stuff. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, we're going to listen to this recording from our Studio A last summer of the Bayview Wind Quintet performing Whoa, and if memory serves, there's a fantastic whinny in the middle,
yeah,
performed
right
by our friend Jean Marie Riccobono,
yeah,
on the clarinet.
Yep, there's a whinny on in the clarinet, and even one kind of toward the end in the French horn. There's like a horn rip toward the end. So yeah, I definitely, again, kind of almost like Mickey Mousing a little bit, but it was just the nature of the wood. I mean, woodwinds are so characteristic of that kind of stuff, so couldn't not include it, basically.
Well, here is Whoa by Tony Manfredonia, performed by the Bayview Wind Quintet in IPR's Studio A last summer.
Thank you.
The piece is called Whoa, and it was performed in IPR's Studio A last summer by the Bayview Wind Quintet, music composed by our guest this hour, Tony Manfredonia. I just love that piece.
Thank you. It was fun to make.
It's really fun.
It's very fun to make.
So you told us that piece, Whoa, was a commission for Bayview last summer. And Tony, you have a world premiere performance tomorrow night with Northern Symphonic Winds.
Yes.
That's also a commission. It's called On the Threshold of Spring.
Yes.
Which it's, what, 45 degrees outside right
yes.
now?
So we're still on the threshold.
So when you get a commission, how does that work? Like, what's that process?
Yeah,
look like?
Well, it's really cool, especially with Dr. Tim Topolesky, who runs the Northern Symphonic Winds based in Charlevoix. You know, we sat down and he said, these are the things that I want. You know, these are the things that I think we really need to have in this piece. You know, a couple of things just to, you know, off the cuff. For example, aleatoric moments or moments where the performers actually have a chance to, in a sense, improvise a little bit. You know, he said he definitely wanted that to kind of give the performers and the musicians a chance to try something that, in a sense, they have to take a chance and use their own freedom, you know, so they're not limited entirely. And it's just for a brief moment. But he wanted that, you know, he wanted an alto flute and he wanted this and that. But the biggest thing, of course, was he wanted something for the community. And so I, you know, and naturally the Northern Michigan community, when it's like February, we're all like dying for spring. I mean, it's something that unifies everybody. You know, you mm-hmm. go into the grocery store, you go wherever, and they say, oh man, it's so nice out, or I'm so glad the sun's coming back. And so I had no other choice really. I was like, I need to write about spring. And so the whole piece is sort of about kind of the winter thaw going into spring, and really the commission process was, these are the little bullet points of what I know I want, and then the rest you kind of take creative freedom and do what you want to do. And that's typical for commissions, is they usually want a specific something or some things that's definite, and then the composer then has a chance to kind of make that their own.
So why the alto flute?
Two reasons. Reason number one,
I mean,
is
why
that,
not? But...
yeah. Reason number, well, it has such a different texture and timbre than, the regular, you know, I guess you could call it the regular flute or the concert flute, C flute. But also because there's a visual thing too. So when people go and see concerts, they like to see visual things happen, you know, mutes being put into brass instruments and, you know, someone holding up the triangle and ting it. So to see someone put their flute away and then take out an alto flute, or even just change it to a piccolo or something, the audiences like eat that up, you know, because there's a visual aspect. And so there were kind of a couple reasons, but that was definitely two of them.
So Northern Symphonic Winds are playing On the Threshold of Spring tomorrow night. What's it like hearing a piece of yours performed for the first time?
Oh, it's kind of scary. I mean, but it's also exciting because I think I was working directly with the performers during this rehearsal process and very receptive. And I love the fact when they give me feedback and they're like, you know, this would be better if, you know, maybe you just change this note on the trill because it's a little bit more challenging, or, you know, hear alternate fingerings. And for me, I mean, I eat that up. I mean, it's such a joy, and it's so helpful to everybody involved to kind of work directly with the composer and say, ah, this works, or this doesn't work quite so well. And for me to be able to kind of adjust things on the fly leading up to the performance. So it's both nerve-wracking and exciting because, you know, everything kind of happens all at once in the span of like 4 weeks.
Well, that performance of On the Threshold of Spring is part of the Northern Symphonic Winds concert tomorrow night that starts at 7 o'clock at Charlevoix High School. We're chatting with Tony Manfredonia this hour, composer right here in Northern Michigan. And Tony, the next piece we're going to listen to, well, we can't listen to On the Threshold of Spring yet because it hasn't happened yet. But so we're on the threshold of having the recording. But we're going to listen to, this is an excerpt from a chamber opera that you wrote. And this is fascinating because among the characters in this opera are Robert and Clara Schumann.
Right. So I was commissioned about a year and a half ago. There's an opera company in New York City, a small opera company. They're called Opera Rocks Productions. And they're all about new opera. They're all about getting new works performed and getting new performers fresh out of college experience in the world of opera, particularly with new opera. And the opera they commissioned me to write, we workshopped Act One last year, the full scores for piano and strings. The recording we're going to hear is just piano and voice. But the opera is about, and long story short, about Clara Schumann and Robert Schumann. Primarily, if anyone knows their music history, Robert Schumann dealt with a lot of mental illness and schizophrenia and all kinds of health complications toward the end of his life. And the whole opera is about how Clara handles that handled it alongside with her family, you know, her children, and actually Brahms is a character. Mm-hmm. But the music itself, I kind of wanted to shy away from just kind of making it sound as though it was written by Robert Schumann. So there's definitely a modern twist. But the story is definitely, it's a lot of, even the text written by the librettist's Aidan Feltkamp, and Aidan is based in New York City. And you can learn more about this opera by going to opera, or just even just Googling Ghost Variations Opera. It's a lot of the text even is from the libretto is from the journals of Clara and the journals of Robert. So it's a unique kind of nonfiction opera with sort of new musical material happening at the same time. And the scene we're going to hear is actually a conversation between Robert and Clara about how he feels like he doesn't deserve Clara just because of how difficult he's become, you know, and how complicated his mental and health state has become. So, yeah.
Okay. This is a duet called Not Worth Your Love from the chamber opera Ghost Variations, music composed by our guest, Tony Manfredonia, and it's performed here by members of Opera Rocks. A duet from the opera Ghost Variations, an opera about the lives of Clara and Robert Schumann. We heard Not Worth Your Love. The performers were Nicholas Wiggins and Omna Iqbal from the Opera Rocks group. Music composed by our guest, Tony Manfredonia, who, by the way, was singing along off the mic. I heard that.
I am a baritone, and that part was written for high baritone. Yeah, and you know, it was so cool. We workshopped Act One last summer, and it was done at Opera America. And right now, the company is in kind of a short hiatus as they they're planning all sorts of stuff. And right now, I'm sort of waiting on when the full premiere will happen. However, I know I've talked to Aiden Feltkamp again is the librettist. Aiden and I have talked, and we are very open to anybody who wants to perform a new opera. I know we're both kind of seeking out companies, smaller companies or large or small, really, and trying to find producers to kind of make it happen. It's a unique process. How, you know, opera is it's a big thing to tackle.
Yeah.
And there's some details that I'm kind of like trying to bite my tongue because I want to share, but I can't fully share. But just know that the world premiere is going to happen at some point. We're just trying to figure out those details as we go.
So if anyone's listening who has an opera company and they're chomping at the bit to put on a new work, well, we have one for you.
Right,
that's looking
true.
For a world premiere. So we can do artistic matchmaking.
You're right.
Here at Classical IPR. Well, folks, we're chatting with Tony Manfredonia this hour. The world premiere of his work On the Threshold of Spring will be performed tomorrow night with Northern Symphonic Winds. And Tony, this is the next premiere you have, but this summer, another work of yours is going to be premiered at Bayview.
Yes.
This one looks interesting. Tell us what's coming up this summer.
Sure. So Risa Renee Harman, she's a soprano, and then Casey Robards is a pianist, and they're sort of on the faculty there at the every year they have their summer music festival. And I knew them. So I moved to Northern Michigan about 3 years ago now. It'll be 3 years in a couple weeks. And I got to know them just from attending concerts. And they're all about, you know, they love new music. They love old music as well, but they also really love new music and kind of champion it. And we sort of over the years have kind of got to know each other. And we finally, you know, so finally we kind of had this chance to work together. So they're commissioning me to write them three art songs, which will premiere sometime this summer. I want to say June. Don't hold me to it, but I want to say June on a Wednesday night. And it's the three songs will all feature text by Shakespeare. It's William Shakespeare, Taming of the Shrew, and Henry VI, part one. There's a monologue that Joan of Arc says, which is a really cool monologue. So, I mean, it's going to be three songs, each of their own kind of standalone song, but I'm probably going to kind of group them together somehow motivically or find a way to unify them, but they're all Shakespeare text, and Risa's just fabulous, and Casey's fabulous, and I'm really excited to be working with them. And that's the same thing. So we're talking about commissions, that, you know, so they said, well, these are the texts this is the text that we want to do, you know? So that was sort of my rule. It's like, okay, I'll write you something, but this is the element that I have to do, which is the text. Then they give me the creative freedom otherwise.
Okay. So they chose the text that you'll be setting.
Yep.
And do you, when it's just for one or two performers, do they say, oh, you know, can you focus in this range?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great point. That's a great point.
Or I have the best color kind of in this passage of my voice.
Yeah. And so Risa, it was funny because Risa said, well, Casey can play anything, so don't worry about her. But Risa was saying, you know, so for example, like the passaggio between, I want to say like D5 and F5, you know, kind of in the upper mid range of the sopranos. She said, you know, I don't really like staying in there for a long period of time. So I like sweeping lines that go above the staff and then come back down. I don't like hanging around below the staff too long. So all those little details, it's so helpful because, you know, I've had experiences where write me something and I'm like, okay. And I write them something and they didn't give me enough details. And they're like, well, this is a little too high. This is a little too low for too long. So Risa, by just kind of giving me, this is what I do well, was so helpful. It was so helpful. You have no idea.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing more about those three Shakespeare songs this summer once the schedule is confirmed in the Bayview Music Festival. Speaking of people who are fabulous and we love, the violist Michael Hall.
I love Michael Hall.
Oh, we love Michael Hall. He was the violist last summer, Baroque on Beaver, and the world premiere of Stacey Garrup's Krakatoa Concerto. And the next piece we're going to listen to features Michael. Now, was he the one who commissioned this one as well?
Yes. So Michael Hall, it's a piece for viola and piano. He, as the violist, was the one who commissioned me to write this. The world premiere actually happened in Jakarta, Indonesia. I want to say back in September. Yes, it was like September 15th of this past year. And then, but the recording we're going to listen to was at CCM at the University of Ohio. And it was February 22nd. The pianist is Michael Delphin. I want to say he is on staff there. And then, of course, Michael Hall playing viola as part of a recital. And what's great is that Michael, it was amazing. This recital was part of, I mean, every single piece was new, brand new, like all living composers, all new stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, this is a piece of cake. You know, just, I'm going to learn all this stuff. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's remarkable.
He's incredible. I mean, the pianist too does a fantastic job. So
now this piece is called Looking Down from Above. Tell us about where that came from.
Sure. Yeah. So he commissioned me to write this. And he said, I would love to have something about flight. That's all he gave me. I want something about flight. Because he felt that, you know, there's enough dirges for viola out there. So he said he wanted something uplifting and energetic. And so I was like, okay, well, I could either think about it like, well, I'm terrified to fly, or I don't like planes. I kind of like flying now, sort of. It's growing on me. But what I solidified on was almost like, so when you are in a plane, and let's say you're flying either overseas or over a big body of water, you look down and all you see is just the water. You know, you just see the massive ocean, right? And so the piece is about the idea of looking down at the ocean from a bird's eye view. But also the idea that there's so much underneath the ocean that you don't see. There's so much action taking, so much life happening underneath the waves that you have no idea is happening. But there's also a serenity. There's also, you know, just, you may see a single bird, you're kind of above the clouds a little bit. There's also a serene element too. And so it's kind of a juxtaposition of those ideas. You can also think looking down at the Great Lakes from above too, since we're here in
yeah. It's the closest body of water that we have for us. Also very deep.
Yeah, very deep. Yeah.
Here. Well, here is music composed by our guest, Tony Manfredonia. It's called Looking Down from Above, music for viola and piano. The violist is Michael Hall with pianist Michael Delphin. Piece is called Looking Down from Above, music composed by our guest this hour, Tony Manfredonia. We heard a very recent performance of that from February of this year by violist Michael Hall and pianist Michael Delphin. Tony Manfredonia is here with us in the studio today at Classical IPR. We are listening to several of his pieces this hour, and tomorrow night you can hear the world premiere of On the Threshold of Spring, which will be performed by the Northern Symphonic Winds at Charlevoix High School. Okay, Tony, we were listening to that piece, and at one point you said, "That sounds really video gamey," which is now an adjective. And there is probably a good reason for that, which is that you also write music for video games.
I do. And so not on like a Hollywood level AAA scale, but what they would call on an indie scale. There's like an indie video game developer community, kind of similar to or akin to like indie films. You know, there's like kind of the break-off industry. Yeah, I was thinking that. Just with certain little piano motives in that one, I was like, wow, that really sounds like a Legend of Zelda thing there. And like, it was probably just an innate thing that now that I'm hearing it, you know, all these months later, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess it does kind of feel like a video game. So yeah, I write music for video games, and the one that I'm quite literally, I'm at like 99% completion. I probably have it completely done by the end of this week, and it's been a long road for the past year and a half. A video game called Karon's Crypt. That's Karon.
As in the Wayfarer of the Dead?
Yes. Like, yeah. Okay. So it's kind of, the game is presented in like a spooky, but also not so spooky type, you know, kind of like, think of like Harry Potter or like The Nightmare Before Christmas, where it's kind of spooky, but not really. You know what I'm saying?
PG.
Yeah. Like PG, scary. Yeah, PG okay. scary. Yeah. And, but the developers, they're based in Spain. So I'm working with, there's a 6-hour time difference, which can be fun. But they love J.S. Bach, like, to no end. And that's how we kind of connected a couple years ago, where they were like, oh, man, we have placeholder Bach music in this game we're making. And they heard something of mine. They were like, it sounds like you really know what you're doing in terms of counterpoint. I was like, I'm just doing counterpoint that I studied from college, but if you say so. And we became good friends. And then they eventually last year asked me, you know, we'll hire you to write music for our game. And so what you're going to hear is the main theme. Now, keep in mind, everything you've heard before was all acoustic. Everything you heard before was entirely acoustic. This is all digital. The music is meant to sound like it's coming out of a Super Nintendo or something from like 1995 or like 1996. It's meant to kind of have this old school feel with a little bit of a modern twist. I won't spoil what it is. But the music is very heavily influenced by Bach. I mean, to the point where in the middle, you'll hear a little canon between the treble voice and the bass voice of the main theme, treble playing the treble voice playing it first, and then the bass coming in a measure later, quite literally just like a canon that Bach would do. So the whole soundtrack, almost done. The game is called Karen's Crypt. Once again, it's going to be out on Nintendo Switch and hopefully this year, and then also on PC and Mac platforms later on. So I'm very excited about it. The soundtrack's almost done. The game's still in development, but this is the main theme that we'll be hearing.
Great. So folks can listen and then they will. Is this the first that this has been played publicly?
Well, it's on my website. You can hear it on my website. It's the first time it's being played on the radio, okay. Which is kind of crazy to think about, but yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's a premiere of the main title from the game Karen's Crypt, music composed by our guest, Tony Manfredonia. We're listening to music from the game Karen's Crypt, composed by our guest, Tony Manfredonia. And Tony, when you were taking 18th century counterpoint in college, did you imagine that you would one day use it to write video game scores?
No, but I went to Temple University and my professor, Jan Krzywicki, when I'm done the soundtrack and when the game comes out or whatever, I'm gonna email him and be like, you changed my life. I hope you know that. And I loved the class, but I had no idea I would ever use it so deliberately, you know, like basically replicating the style of Bach. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
So students should pay attention in music theory class because you never know
exactly
when it's going to come in handy. And this piece is going to be performed in an orchestral version here in a couple of months.
So I wrote an orchestral suite called The Suite from Karen's Crypt for symphony orchestra, as well as a chamber orchestra version for smaller ensembles, just in case. So the National Video Game Orchestra of Wales in the United Kingdom is programming that piece, Suite from Karen's Crypt. It's the main theme and a couple of other tracks that I turned into a little medley of sorts, kind of to promote the game, as well as sort of feature it alongside, of course, games that have already been out and are very well known. But they're championing these new indie developers, new indie game soundtracks, and that'll be on June 13th. It won't be live streamed, but the recording will be on my website eventually. But
will
I'm very excited about that. I will not be going.
Okay.
I would love to, but I will not be going. But it's really neat to kind of see them say, you know what, this is an indie game, but just because it's an indie game doesn't mean that the music isn't worthwhile. And I think, you know, so year after year, they're going to start doing more indie games. Because, I mean, the reality is it's video game music is still music. You know, it can still be something of high quality. So I'm very excited about that. Very excited.
Great. Well, Tony Manfredonia, the last piece we're going to hear today of yours, I believe, is the first one that you wrote of the ones we've listened to today. It's
yes.
the earliest.
Yes.
So tell us about this one.
Sure. The piece is called Through the Tunnels and Back, and it was premiered by the Brazos Sport Symphony Orchestra in January of 2016. I wrote this when I was a sophomore in college, so a couple years before it was premiered. And it was premiered while I was still a senior. It won a composer competition. It's always a tongue twister. Won a composer competition, and I flew out to see them perform it. And it was incredible. It was my first like orchestral performance, which was just unreal. You know, it was just, I was in tears. I was like, wow, this is crazy. I love this. So the piece itself is about, it's called Through the Tunnels and Back. Sort of it's almost like a fantastical, almost think of like Lord of the Rings, like there and back again in a way. Like almost like going through, you know, kind of being in the light, going through a dark tunnel and coming out on the other side. And so you'll kind of hear that very clearly in the middle, and then an overarching theme that you'll hear throughout in the beginning at the end. Hasn't been performed since, but it definitely reflects my older style. Like it's definitely, in a way, I mean, when I listen to it, I still feel like, oh yeah, that sounds like college Tony, you know? So I kind of, you know, I've kind of grown so much since then. But I cherish it because it was my first big orchestra premiere.
It's an early opus number.
Yeah, early opus number like 0.5.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here it is, Through the Tunnels and Back. This is the Brazos Sport Symphony Orchestra, music by our guest, Tony Manfredonia.
Thank you.
the Brazosport Symphony Orchestra performing Through the Tunnels and Back. Music composed by our guest this hour, Tony Manfredonia. You can hear the Northern Symphonic Winds give the world premiere performance of Tony Manfredonia's On the Threshold of Spring tomorrow, May 1st. That performance takes place at Charlevoix High School and starts at 7 p.m. And later in May, Manitou Winds will perform Manfredonia's Woe. That's on May 11th at Grace Episcopal Church in Traverse City. More information about these upcoming performances is at classicalipr.org. Tony Manfredonia, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has just been a real treat. Great treat.
We look forward to hearing how the performance goes tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted. I'll send you the recording once I get it.
Sounds great.
Thank you.